Spy in the Sky interview. Following the spiral of the question mark. Once again, it is with great pleasure to invite and to greet Ola Damegaard back onto A Fire in the Sky. Ola Damegaard, the author of Coup d'etat in slow motion and also speaker as one of his many roles. Welcome along to Fire in the Sky, Ola.
Thank you so much, Max. And if I may share some personal great news, I'm just on my way to Prague, where I've been awarded the 2016 Peace Prize.
Really?
So I feel that is absolutely amazing. And I'm so touched and also so happy that this is not the prize for best conspiracy researcher, but it's a peace prize, because in my opinion, that is what it's all about.
You know, yes.
Let's just stop this madness and have some peace on Earth.
Yeah. I commend you, Ola. I commend you. You're an honorable man and you deserve this prize. Your ancestors would be extremely proud of you.
That's very kind of you. Thank you.
Who's giving away the prize, Ola?
It is, I don't know, it's a small organization in Czechia, and well, I don't know, I just got an invitation, we've been invited, the whole family, so we're flying down there together with Sven Gardner. He's going to be at the same conference doing a talk.
Great.
So
I'd imagine this organization has more credibility than the UN, also known as the UN.
I have no idea, I just know that someone out there chose me for some reason, so I see that if that's one person or 1,000 persons, doesn't matter.
That's wonderful, and any small group has more credibility than the UN.
I believe so. Nowadays, so many of these major organizations have been totally infiltrated, so this is also the way with the alternative media or organizations or groups. I avoid all of them. As soon as there is a group, I avoid them. I'm a one-man band. And because as soon as you get into a group, you get all of these weird things going on. And as soon as you become important and some kind of a threat towards the structure behind the New World Order, they will infiltrate you and they will target you.
Yeah.
So,
2016,
I find it's a very interesting year, because it's almost like the veil is falling away and people are showing their real faces. Some people that I thought I could really trust have shown themselves to be controlled opposition, which is very, very sad to see when it's somebody you thought was a friend and somebody you could trust.
Yeah.
And other people are showing themselves in a beautiful way. So it's the time to choose sides. Which side are you on, light or darkness?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I find, at least.
Mm. It seems like an easy call to me, but
yeah, me too. But if you've got something to hide, if you're not pure in your intention, or if you have some other agenda that is not visible for the rest of us, then this will come up to the surface.
Yeah, and 2016, what a year it has been. I was predicting, well, I just felt that it was going to be a big year anyway, as it's more like the actual real 2012 that never happened. And it certainly has so far proven to be quite spectacular, with now so many attacks that it is getting very difficult to remember all of them. They're happening with such frequency. It's been a while since we've chatted, Ola. So if you'd be able to give us a bit of a rundown and some insights into the latest attacks that you've researched and looked into.
Well, I've done this for some 30 years, and I think it is extremely important to look at this from a higher point of view than just each separate incident. It is only when you look from a bit above where you can start to see that somebody is playing like a chess game with us, with operations carried out in different countries that they indirectly control. So I would humbly suggest that everything we've seen for the last few years, at least, are totally connected. When it comes to false flag operations in Europe, mass shootings in the US, and other staged events. And it's just, in the old days, these false flag operations used to be like once every 5 years or 3 years or something like that. Then after the Boston bombing, they started accelerating. And a year or two ago, it was like scare of the week. What I was informed from inside sources, they called it scare of the week. But now it's almost like scare of the day. It's like being up against Mike Tyson, just dum 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 dum.
Yeah.
They hit us all the time from all different directions. And one of the reasons for that is so that we will be totally terrified of all this alleged terror that is taking place, but also totally disorientated and not able to focus and really look into any of these, because they're just another one the next day.
Yeah.
But I focus on all of them. I really try to dig deep in more or less all of them. So I have some incredible stuff around a lot of them. And what keeps repeating is the presence of the CIA and Mossad. Mossad is very strong in the European part, at least. So, well, where do you want to begin?
That was going to be my question to you, actually. We covered the Paris attacks last time, so why don't we go from after the Paris attacks? So I suppose that would that be Brussels, or have I missed out an attack?
No, but what is really interesting with these attacks is that the people behind them, for some weird, bizarre reason, they leave like teasers for upcoming events. They leave clues for us to see. And I've been informed from, once again, inside sources that the way the power behind the New World Order, the way they interpret the law of karma, is that if you inform your victim about what is going to happen and the victim does not react, then the bad karma is on their shoulders, not on the attacker. And I have no idea. It's a bizarre way of seeing things.
Does that fit into any form of spirituality at all, or Satanism, or?
I don't know, Max. I don't know. But these people are into very dark stuff. So it's like everything we believe in the light and compassion, forgiveness, brotherhood, you know, all of these beautiful values, they are into the dark stuff. So it's totally upside down. I don't understand it. I can just see that it keeps repeating. And I spoke to Chip Tatum, who is a CIA whistleblower who used to be the commander of George Bush Sr.'s private hit team, Pegasus. He was part of taking out at least 14 people in Western Europe. And he was also involved in false flags. I asked him about this, and he said that he never heard of it before, but he said that every time they were given a task to eliminate someone, they were forced to approach the target verbally first, to go there and speak to the guy, to the one that they were supposed to hit, and to give him or her the chance to, as they call it, as Chip called it, confirm. If they didn't confirm, then boom, green light, they could kill the person. But he said he never heard of this thing with the karma thing, but he said now when you say it like this, it makes perfect sense. So I don't know. I just know that they keep leaving clues out there, and this is why I'm so on each and every case looking for these clues as well. But one thing, understanding, is it a real terror event or is it a false flag op? And more, I tell you, I don't know when they're real ones, because all of the ones I'm looking into are inside jobs. It's again and again and again, following the exact same template. So, at the Brussels airport, or if we go to the Paris thing where we spoke last time, I've been in the middle of doing a series of documentaries where I go on location, on the cover more or less with a cameraman, where we've been to England, the 7/7 bombings, the beheading in Woolwich. We've been to Norway, the mass shooting on the island. We've been to Norway in Oslo, filming the government building where they blew that up. We've been to Copenhagen where the shootings were. We've been to Sweden where there was a tram massacre. We've been to Paris, the Bataclan massacre, all of these different cafes, the Charlie Hebdo. We've been in Madrid, the Madrid bombings, and so on. We've been in Holland where the Queen's Day massacre took place and so on. Where I go on location and go in the exact footprints of the terrorists, the so-called terrorists, filming on the exact location where these things happen, and then comparing step by step by step the official version and then all the evidence that has come forward, and just put the two side by side. And I tell you, it is incredible the impact when you can see for yourself that, oh my God, it is so obvious once you start looking at the details. So obvious. Anyway, so at the Bataclan massacre, if you remember that, that was inside the music theater in Paris, where it said that there were four gunmen that went in, suicide bombers went in and started shooting all of these people. This was one of a series of attacks on November the 13th last year in Paris. Well, there's one very, very odd photo from inside this music theater, the only image that has ever been released. And you have the floor of this music theater, and there's some 25 bodies spread around there looking dead. There's no technical forensic team, there's no police, there's no medical, there's just bodies lying around. Then if you look at that photo, which is a very strange photo, because for one thing, there's no digital data in the photo, which normally is the case when a photo is taken with a digital camera. This is a screenshot from a computer, so that there's absolutely no way to track it down, where it comes from and so on. Also, down to the left, in the left corner, if you enlarge it to a great extent, there is a gold, it looks like a gold death mask. And also around in the seating areas around this whole thing, there, it seems like there are six figures standing there in black robes with candles. I mean, very similar to a satanic ritual. And then on the floor you have these dead bodies. Once again, blurred, so it's very hard to get some real details, but well, I've been able to enlarge it and get it as good quality as possible. And when you really look at it, we see that the angles of the legs and hips and so on are not natural. What we're looking at, I would strongly suggest, are Kappa cadavers, these type of bodies that are used in film recordings or different rescue operations and so on for practice purposes and so on. But anyway, the weird thing with this photo is that around all of these bodies, it looks like somebody has taken like a 3-foot-wide brush and painted what looks like a heart around the bodies. Very bizarre.
Because and the bodies are all arranged in the middle of the room, aren't they?
No, they are spread out a bit. But no way can, even if you took a body and pulled it around like that, you would never get the amount of blood so evenly spread out. And so weird around this whole thing. And at exactly a year before this happened, there was an attack in a synagogue in Israel where they claimed that some Palestinian attackers had gone in there and killed, I think, 4 people. And the exact same type of track were in the synagogue, very straight. I mean, looking totally bizarre. It almost looks like one of these, I don't know what they are called, but you know, like in supermarkets and so on, they have like a little vehicle where they can clean the floor, and they drive around and just you see this nice clean track behind this little. It looks like that, but instead of cleaning fluid, they put fake oil in it. That's what it looks like.
It looks like one of those like reggae rasta mops, big white scissor mops.
Yeah, but it's wider than that. It's very wide, almost like a meter wide at least, this whole thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, so So when I saw that, I thought that was the symbol for Paris, that it was a heart shape, and that maybe it was because Paris is the city of romance, you know, Champs-Élysées and springtime, these type of things. I didn't understand it. And then, boom, the Brussels attack happened. And then on a Finnish TV footage I was watching, suddenly I saw that they filmed the logo of the airport in Brussels, which is identical to that heart shape. It is not a complete heart. It's more like a combination of a heart and a bird. And the color, blood red, extremely red. And the name of the logo underneath, it says Brussels in the heart of Europe.
So the this is the let's get rid of the karma.
This is, in my opinion, yes. Okay, so when this whole thing happened in Brussels, where there were super many question marks around the whole thing being absolutely super weird, I spent so much time exposing crisis actors, you know, exposing fake CCTV footage, exposing all of these things that turn out did not match up at all. Then I was going through all of the evidence, all the footage, looking for, have they put another clue like this? Because there's like four other events where I've seen these clues and where I've been able to stop at least two of these planned false flag massacres just by knowing how they operate. One of them was a planned false flag massacre outside the Bilderberg meeting in Copenhagen, 2014. Another one was the shootings in Copenhagen, 2015, in February 2015, where I went out publicly 1 month exactly on the hour saying they're going to hit it here. They're going to somewhere around this train station. This is where they're going to hit. They didn't do it at the exact time I said. They did it exactly 1 month later. I think because we went out open with it, because that's the key. The secret to how to stop this is exposing it before it even happens by finding these clues and just pump it out there. Anyway, so at the Brussels airport, I was looking everywhere for these clues. And if you remember, this happened on the 22nd of March. So it's not that long ago. And then one day I stumbled across a photo where there's this small little cafe at the airport in Brussels called, I think it's called the Lille Cafe or something like that. And you see there's one photo where the furniture is, it looks like there's been an explosion. There's a lot of garbage and stuff lying around. And then on the white wall behind this whole thing, there's a painting of the Eiffel Tower horizontal lying down. I was like, what the hell is that? So weird. Have you ever seen the Eiffel Tower horizontal?
No.
So I went straight out and said, boop, boop, alert, alert, alert. The next one could be the Eiffel Tower. Okay. So, okay, the chance of me looking like an ass, you know, I don't care. As long as there's a possibility of saving human lives.
Yep.
and stopping this madness, I'm happy to look like a dumb whatever. But so I went out on different radio stations saying, Paris, 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 the Eiffel Tower, the Eiffel Tower, the Eiffel Tower. And ye and behold, only a week or two later, suddenly there was an ISIS video released with the exact scenario of the Eiffel Tower going down, where there's an image in a video that is more or less identical. I will send it to you. It is incredible. So I also spoke to Dr. Kevin Barrett, who is one of the leading experts on 9/11 and false flag operations. And he said that I was on his show and he said, how bizarre that you're saying that, because he was in Paris on the evening before the November the 13th claimed massacre. He just landed in Paris on the way to Morocco. And he said that when he was there, he was just going through some postcards because he wanted to send them to friends in the States. And there were these postcards in 3D, you know, these type of things that you can change the angle and they change the image.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And he said there were postcards there of the Eiffel Tower with planes flying into them so that you change the angle and the type of plane that hit the Eiffel Tower changed.
Whoa.
And You know, these are the things that they put out there in movies, in magazines, in media, in our face, you know, for us to react. And yeah. I would say, is that not a bizarre postcard? Have you even thought of the idea of a plane flying into the Eiffel Tower?
Especially after 9/11, who would put that on a postcard?
Exactly. It's bizarre. It's sick, you know. And anyway, so I went out there. ISIS video comes out. And then on the 14th of July, on the National Day of France, here a few days ago, this whole thing happened in Nice. But at the same time as that happened, the Eiffel Tower started burning, they say. It was covered in smoke and some flames to some extent, but mostly smoke. And with the lighting that is on the Eiffel Tower, it looked like the Eiffel Tower had been attacked. So there was this shock wave in France saying, oh my God, the Eiffel Tower has been attacked. Later turned out that it was a truck parked underneath the Eiffel Tower with fireworks that caught fire, they say. So that's where the smoke come from. I do not believe that that was just a coincidence. It's part of this strategy of tension, how to freak us out by hitting us from all different directions at the same time. So these clues, I believe, are extremely important to be aware of, and I believe I found clues in Nice as well.
Did you find anything that led to Nice?
No, but have you not noticed if you read all the titles and headlines and so on from this latest attack, and you read it in English, it's Nice attack, you know, terror attack. It's, have you noticed, it's not Nice, it's Nice terror attack, it's Nice carnage, it's Nice, it's bizarre.
Oh no, I hadn't even thought of that. That's quite amazing, isn't it?
But I would.
You see, because when I read it, I read it as Nizza. I pronounce it as a European.
It would be Nice in France and the rest of Europe, as far as I know. Nice is the way to pronounce it. But it's when you, for any English speaking person, your subconscious will read Nice carnage, nice terror attack, Nice, and so on. So, anyway. If I can reverse the tape a little bit and take you on a little tour of the latest few months.
Please.
So, once again, please look at these events as possibly being connected, okay? I'm just pointing things out, then it's up to you to make up your own mind. A while ago, on the 23rd of June, there was the so-called Brexit referendum in England. This referendum was, the question was, should England leave the European Union or stay? And if you look at how the New World Order, how it's constructed, the European Union is part of their whole structure. You know, they were the ones creating it, they were the ones behind it. And they, at the moment, it's a strange thing because there are two different plans, as far as I understand, that is part of it. They want to destroy the union so that out of the ruins of that, they can build a complete new world order. But they don't want people to, or countries to leave on their own. Do you see? So they need to be the ones doing it. So anyone who's threatening to leave, they need to stop them. And mm-hmm. Brexit stands for Britain Exit. A few weeks before this referendum happened, and it was a referendum, it was not an election. And if you look like in Sweden, we've had like three or four referendums over the years, and people have said no to different things, and the government have then done the total opposite anyway. So these referendums, I would say, is just yet another theater play, but important for the stamina of the population and so on anyway. So a few weeks before that happened, in Orlando, there was a concert with a young upcoming star called Christine Grimmie. She's from the program The Voice and very popular and some beautiful voice and so on. And she had a concert in Orlando, Florida. There's a lot of photos of her before where she's doing, I mean, beautiful girl, but she's doing all of the usual Illuminati signs, you know, 666 and so on, one eye. So it's showing that she has more or less sold her soul to these darker forces that has now invaded the music business and media and such extent. And anyway, so she's on stage. There's very few photos from the concert, as I've only been able to find one as far as I know. And if you look at the backdrop behind her while she's singing, it says the name of the band, Before You Exit, is the name of the band. Before You Exit sounds very similar to Brexit, I would say. So it's Before You Exit, and then there's underneath that, there's a pyramid shape, and then a circle that almost looks like a hairpin from a rifle. So anyway, she is on stage there, and then it said that she walks out to meet some fans. There's a very blurred video as usual. You see absolutely nothing, and then you hear bang, 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 three fast shots, and the video footage stops, which is totally natural. If something very traumatic or interesting happens, you don't need your camera, not. I would say. No CCTV footage, no photos from the crime scene, no nothing. But here we have something moving around and then bang, bang, bang. And just before she leaves to go out there, the message she sends, it says, shoot me down, bang, bang, bang. No, shoot me down, bang, bang, shoot me down, bang, bang, shoot me down, bang, bang. This is the message before she goes out and gets shot with these shots. Okay, so I need to put a question mark around this murder because there's absolutely no footage, no nothing showing any real crime scene at all. Anyway, so possibly I would say this is a subtle message to the people of Britain who are so voice and what are these other programs called? Idol and the new Fant and so on.
X Factor,
exactly, that's one. Anyway, so here you have this footage saying to your subconscious, before you exit, and then the pyramid shape with a hairpin thing on, and then bang, 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 bang. If you do not do as we say, you die. That is the subtle, I wouldn't call it subtle, but that is the message being sent to your subconscious, I would suggest.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this was in Orlando just a week before the shooting. Now go to England, okay? Because there was a very strong opposition against the European Union in England before this referendum. So England was just about to, all logic pointed towards England leaving the Union or voting to leave this European Union. Now, in 2003, there was a very similar referendum in Sweden, where it was about the European euro, the currency, or to stay with the Swedish currency, the krona. So, an almost identical situation, but in Sweden. 2 days before the election, the the woman, her name was, it was the foreign minister of Sweden, Anna Lindh, who is the icon of the euro. And she was the one standing up, fighting for the euro, all of these things. Beautiful woman, the mother of two, she was 46, loved. And suddenly, a lone crazy guy walks up to her in a clothes shop, and stabs her multiple times. So she dies. It's a national trauma. She dies on 9/11, 2003, exactly 2 years after 9/11. And... anyway, Sweden, even though many changed their way of voting to go emotional, to support the family of the victim and so on, still the referendum chose to stay with the krona, it's still the currency in Sweden. So here we have the identical situation, more or less, in England. 2 days before the election, still the very strong opinion to leave the European Union. So I would suggest the power behind these structures wanted to hit emotionally to try and force people to change their way of voting. So here we have this MP, a young woman in her 40s, good looking, just like the foreign minister of Sweden, Jo Cox was her name. She came from more or less absolute nowhere. I have been able to find very little about her up until a year before this happened. But she was also a bit of a symbol for staying in the European Union. Then it's said that she went up to a small town in northern England, and she was meeting with some voters in a library, local library. She was talking to them. They were standing outside, and then a crazy lone guy came up to her with a gun and a knife, started stabbing her, and then shot her in the head. There's a question mark around how many stabs, how many shots, and so on. You look at the crime scene. I mean, it's almost identical like in Sweden. The voting, even though this happened, there was the tendency to vote to stay in the European Union just when it skyrocketed, but still they chose to leave the European Union. So if this was the plan, they failed. They didn't manage to get their plan through, just like in Sweden. But when you look at this crime scene, we have a lot of strange things here as well. Because it is said that this guy came up, he wasn't interested in politics or anything like that, not violent at all. And here it is said he goes up and he starts stabbing her outside the library. An elder man tries to help her and is said to have been stabbed as well. I don't know, but as far as I've been able to find out, the man that they say helped her died in 2013. So a bit of a problem there. Then it is said there's no blood, there's no nothing, even though we're talking about multiple stab wounds and gunshots. No blood whatsoever. It is said that she was stabbed and killed outside the library, but where the forensic team put up the tent to check out the crime scene, it's like 100 meters down the road in a parking lot. Then the story changed and said, no, he stabbed her and then she started running, trying to escape from him, and he caught up with her in the parking lot and killed her there. I don't know. But there's no blood whatsoever. There's just a pair of shoes and that's it. Some witnesses said they didn't even hear gunshots, you know. Anyway, so there was the police was alerted, and there was a description of this killer with a black cap that they should arrest. So of course they find the guy and arrest him with a white cap. And there's some footage of this arrest. You can find it on YouTube. That is very odd, to say the least. It is out in a villa area, you know, with townhouses and so on. And you see there's one police car, that vehicle that has stopped. There are two police officers out, and they're wrestling a bit with this guy. They're not very violent, but wrestling with him. No sirens, no blue lights. And then within a few seconds, you got 8 vehicles in total that arrived. No blue lights, no sirens. There's only one car with blue lights on. No adrenaline, no pump, no nothing of this normal thing you would see if they had caught a brutal killer. I mean, this guy had just slaughtered this beautiful woman, and here they hardly walk up to the guy. It's just these two first police officers, they drag him and put him up against the wall where he sat on the pavement. They start putting bandages on his head. But a slight little problem. When you look at his arms, there are no tattoos. When you look at the arms of the guy that they blame for this assassination, he's got tattoos on his forearms. So what are we looking at? I mean, they love their blue lights and the sirens. You can hear it all the time for whatever thing. Rear, rear, rear. Here, a brutal murder, no blue lights and no sirens. You see, once again, major weird thing going on here. So
yeah, irregularity. Yeah.
Then you had the family of Jo Cox when they talk about their sister and their daughter being brutally slaughtered. They're standing there smiling. You know, we're back to duping delight, this psychological phenomena of people who know that they're manipulating other people and they know that they're lying, but they just can't stop smiling. It's a very it's like the, I think the universe loves truth, and it is somehow given it away. You really have to be very observant if you try and lie without smiling, at least if you're a psychopath. So very odd things around her family as well. They're smiling, they're, even though she's just been slaughtered, and so on. And then after that, I and other people went out on interviews, straight away pointing out a lot of these things. And after that, zero in the news. Nothing, 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 nothing. Okay, so here we have Christine Grimmie shot before you exit. Then Joe Cox, brutally murdered, identical to Anna Lindh in Sweden, just before the election of Brexit as well. I'm going to come back to Brexit because it's connected to Nice as well. Okay, so these two things happened. Christine Grimmie was killed, said to have been murdered in Orlando, Florida. Okay, then just a few weeks before all of this happened, if you're aware of how the New World Order is constructed, you will see that key people or key players involved are people like Obama, David Cameron, Angela Merkel, President François Hollande in France, the Royal Family of England, and so on. Many of the key players are connected in groups like the Bilderberg Group, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Skull and Bones, these type of hidden networks that is where the real decisions are made and so on. So, in May, there was the so-called Invictus Games in Orlando. And Orlando is also the home of Walt Disney and SeaWorld and so on. It is the where dreams are made, that's what they say, and so on. So the Invictus Games are a like Olympic Games for war veterans that have been blown to pieces and so on. So it's almost bizarre that the people who are creating the wars are at the same time patrons of these games and you know, so on. And if you know about the English Queen, you will know that she never, ever make any public appearances on TV, except, I think it's around Christmas, where she gives the speech to the people, saying more or less, well, I own like 14 trillion pounds, and you own nothing but a happy Christmas anyway. And but except for that...
Now get back to work.
Get back to work, and I would be very admired for having done absolutely nothing for my people or anyone else in the world. But anyway, I have a nice haircut, and I look dignified. Anyway, so one of the patrons of these games are Prince Harry. And there's this video, you can find it if you go to YouTube and you search Queen Elizabeth, boom, you will find it. Okay, so there's Prince Harry and the English Queen. They're sitting in the castle somewhere looking through the brochure for this Invictus Games. And the symbol for the Invictus Games is a pyramid. We're back to these Freemasonic symbols. And where they have the words, I am Invictus. Okay, and I am in yellow. I am, according to many spiritual leaders and so on, the most powerful words in the universe. They are the statement and that is part of creation. Whatever you say after I am, if your intention and your feeling, everything is strong, it's part of creating that. So I would suggest that in many areas of life, they are hijacking these very important words and expressions and so on. Anyway, so you got this Invictus Games. They're sitting looking through the brochure. And Prince Harry is explaining to Queen Elizabeth, well, this and that, and this is what we do, and so on. And she's sitting there very like, okay. And then he gets an SMS from a call on his mobile. So he picks up, and it says FLOTUS on it. That's the name of the First Lady in the White House, or something like the First Lady of the U.S. Anyway, so it's Michelle Obama calling. Or Michael, as he is also called. Anyway, so Michelle and Obama are standing, looking quite hostile. And then there's three people in uniform behind them, two male and one female with lots of medals and so on. And then Michelle says, listen, something to the extent like, okay, Harry, do you remember when you asked us to bring it to Orlando? And then Obama says, watch out for what you wish for. Okay. And then the three people in the background in uniform, they make like demonic faces. And then they do this gesture, you know, drop the mic, that thing. And they go, all of them go, boom. And then it cuts back to Queen Elizabeth and Prince Harry. And Queen Elizabeth say, ooh, boom. And then Prince Harry turns around with a really cute smile, looking into the camera, saying, doing the same gesture, boom. You know, okay, could be a cute little video. Could also be a totally bizarre, weird, satanic, ritualistic way of showing Orlando, here we come. Because remember when you asked us to bring it to Orlando? And this is exactly what was brought to Orlando, the next big shooting. So I think that and you know the prizes, some of the awards given at the Invictus Games are pyramid shaped crystal glass shapes, you know. It's right in our face. They're putting it right in our face. Anyway, so where are we now? First we had we had Christine Grimmie in Orlando, more or less the identical place. Then Joe Koch, then Brexit. Brexit happened anyway, the referendum, they left. Then you had Orlando. Well, Orlando is said to have happened in Pulse, also the name of the club, Pulse, the heartbeat of Orlando. We're back to Brussels, the heart of Europe, Pulse, the heartbeat of Orlando. And Orlando is the place where people go to get a break away from all the madness. You know, this is a place for recreation, where dreams are made, you know, Walt Disney, this whole type of thing. And so we look at this club where it said that a gay hater, Muslim, Christian, gay person. I mean, the story keeps changing. His name was Omar Martin. Is said to have gone to this gay club. There's said to have been about 300 people there when the club closed at 2 a.m. And right after closing hours, he starts opening fire in here, inside the club, and starts killing. The numbers keep going up and down, as they always do after these operations, and then it ends on 49 dead and 52 wounded, as far as I know. Said that he had an AR-15 and an automatic pistol. And if you look at the rate of the wounded and so on, he must have had a certain amount of clips with ammo, not discreet. I mean, you have to carry in a lot of ammunition and so on to be able to hit that many in this thing. So we look at, we go down and we look out for the normal signs of a false flag. One of them being, was there any drill nearby for similar things to happen, to be practiced? And yes, there was a drill just a few months before taking place at a hospital like less than a mile down the road, where it was the whole drill was about mass shooting, you know, multi-exercise drill where everybody was involved, taking place very, very close to this place. So the drill was there. You have the patsy that is pointed out, or the accused one, that if following the template, lone, weird, and connected to some terrorist organization here, lone, weird, and ISIS came up, I mean, right away. It's even said that while he was walking around shooting people, he made a phone call to 911 saying, Allah Akbar, I'm doing this for ISIS and the memory of the brothers in Boston. I mean, so anyway, shooting. And then he took some hostages, and he kept these hostages there until till 5 a.m. in the morning. That's after 3 hours where the SWAT team said to come with armored vehicles, breaking through the wall, killing him. End of story. So let's look at the thing. Also, very conveniently, it turned out that his dad was a radio host with connections to the CIA running for president in Afghanistan. Okay. That's a bit of a coincidence. But
isn't it?
Omar Martin, Sadeki Martin, they always see names of these guys. Omar Sadeki Martin, he turned out to be working for a company called G4S, a security company, which most people have not heard about, but which is a company I bump into all the time. It is the third largest contractor in the world when it comes to many, many of these things. It's also involved with crisis management and false flag operations, like staged, not false flag operation, but security operations where you practice false flag operations. And it's also sponsoring a company called Crisis Cast in England that is specialized in exactly these things as well. And please keep in mind, just because something happens in one country doesn't mean that you can fly in a crew from another country doing these things. So it is possible that an English company with Crisis Actor could be used, for instance, in France and so on.
Who does the security at airports these days? G4S.
ICTS is the ones that are always there, and it's always their cameras that fail. But this is a Israeli-connected company, big time. That ICTS is always there, and it's always their cameras failing, you know?
Yeah, that happened 7-7, Princess Diana, the list goes on and on.
It just goes on and on. Do you know where the bus was blown up in London, the 7-7 bombings?
It was almost in front of the Tavistock Institute, is it right?
It was in the where the Tavistock Institute used to be at the Tavistock Square, but it was right in front of the ICTS office. I mean, we're talking like 50 meters. It is right in front of it.
And that's the bus with the poster on it that said beautiful terror like you've never seen before or something like that. Is that correct?
I think it's pure terror, absolute brilliant or something. And then on the other side of the bus, I would humbly suggest product placement. You got like a poster on a Coca-Cola bottle, no text, but with a massive big explosion behind it. On the side of the bus.
Wow.
And the whole bus was there, was prepared before, because they cut off the top of the bus so that when it exploded, whatever happened with it, the top of the bus was just lifted off. You can see it. It's lifted off and the sides are falling to the sides. And then they redid it at the Olympic Games, the ceremonies at the Olympic Games, where the whole thing just unfolded with the number of victims and so on, 13 in the bus. It's just right in time. Anyway, so let's get back on track.
There's no humility with these people, is there?
Are you kidding me? Arrogance is the middle name. So it said that Omar Martin was working for G4S or G-Force as a security guard. There's actually a film where he's in it, called The Big Fix, where he's being filmed with hidden cameras. It's about a big oil spill in the US, and he's being filmed there as a guard. And he's been an actor in several other films, and he's part, and there's a database for actors called IMDb, I think it's called IMDb, where he's got a profile, you know, and we found him right away where, oh my God, he's in this film, he's in that film. So we tracked down the films, there he was, boom. And then as soon as we went out open with these videos, the IMDb database erased the facts that he was in that film. So you can't find it anymore. So all the time when I find these things, I make a screen dump, you know, get it there because it might disappear. Same with Facebook things where his Facebook page was updated after he died and so on. really makes you believe in reincarnation.
Yeah, the power from beyond. I suppose that's what happens when you get buried with your smartphone.
I did not think of that one, but that explains it. But anyway, the FBI says that they had been suspecting him for terror activities since 2013, and he had been questioned at least twice, and still he was allowed to work for G-Force. I think not. You know, they said that one of his friends was suicide bombers. Do you really, really, really believe that a company like G-Force would keep such a threat as a security guard with security clearance? I think not. But this is part of the template. It's the standard routine that he's always been suspected before. And then, oh, we're very sorry. We need more resources to be able to do more of this bullshit.
It also breaks the pattern of the latest catchphrase term for these people, lone wolf, depicting someone who hangs in the shadows and is not known by anyone. Yet all of the lone wolves all tend to be known to the government.
Yeah, trained, equipped, and so by the FBI, it is standard procedure. So we look at the details, and for one thing, you look at the club itself. And I made like a 3D construction of the building according to the plans and so on. I don't know how this club can get the license for 300 people. There's only like 11 parking spots outside. It's not big at all. And as far as I've been able to find out, the license expired in 2014. So I would very much question that possibly this club has been taken over by some of these agencies, or used for something, or prepared for this event. I don't know, but there's weird things around the license.
That anyway, sounds like the Bactalan Theatre, because that was sold months before or a year before.
It's identical. It was the contract was signed on 9/11.
Oh, you're kidding me.
I mean, I'm not making these things up, Max. The thing is, it is the same. The same when looking at these things. There's nothing new. Anyway, so, yeah, and one of the witnesses at the Bataclan, she released her album on 9/11. Then she was interviewed when this whole thing happened. Quite a few of the people who were witnesses to this thing in the Bataclan had new singles out, and one of them released on 9/11, so that their careers just took off when this whole thing happened. Go figure. Here, once again, we have so many of the people, witnesses, that have some kind of acting career going on. All the different people, many of them interviewed, are even connected to media or acting or sports and so on. And as far as I've been able to find out, out of these 49 victims, more or less all of them had recently moved to Orlando. Many of them from Puerto Rico. So they were American citizens, but they had very recently moved to Orlando. And when you start tracking it down, go step by step and check the paper trail, it ends after a few messages on Facebook, and they're gone.
Okay.
Like a normal person nowadays, with all the computer-based databases and all of these things, if you ask for the information that exists on the internet of you, there are ways to do it. You can get like 30,000 pages printed out of absolute crap, you know, about you. But these identities have more or less nothing. There are a few photos, a few posts on Facebook, and that's it. And I've been on many of these locations, like I told you, with this series of documentaries. It's so hard to find the graves. It is so hard to find the families. It is so hard to, when you go to a village where this whatever person is said to have lived, the people there don't know about him. Or, no, he only lived here for a week or some, you know, I'm telling you, phantom identities. Many of these phantom identities created there to get the emotional impact and the whole thing. Then you got the flowers and the candles, and we support Sydney, or we support Ottawa, or we support Copenhagen, or we cry for Paris, or we cry for Orlando. It's the same.
Yeah. It surprised me after Orlando that I always considered it would be pretty difficult to sort of rig up lighting to make buildings rainbow coloured, but it seemed that so many cities on the planet managed to do it within, was it 12 hours?
Look at what cities, because these are the cities where these operations have also taken places. You know, it's Australia, the US, UK, Germany, Belgium, Denmark, Sweden, and Turkey.
Yeah.
These are the same. And you, it's so important to understand that they are, these are some of the main players. Israel as well. You had the whole building in Tel Aviv lit up in gay colors within minutes, or you know, like before the, at the November the 13th thing, when this whole thing happened in Bataclan, there were all these buildings lit up. There was one building, the Olympic Stadium in London, only one slight problem. Lights went on 1 hour before the event took place. Difference in time zones.
What?
Yeah. Somebody switched the light on because, and they forgot about the difference in time zones.
That's a bit like talking about Building 7 collapsing while it's standing in the background.
It is the same. And the whole thing is just bizarre. You know, I just wanted to stop. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. You know, give us back our Earth and bugger off, you know. And let's get back on track. We look at Orlando. Okay, so it's said to have taken place between 2 a.m. and 5 a.m. in the morning. The nearest police station, hospital, and fire station is within half a mile from this place. In my opinion, it should take like a few minutes for these vehicles to arrive on site. Not correct. Instead, we see that TV crews are on location filming like people carrying away with bodies away from the club. You know, people that have been shot and so on.
Yeah.
They're carrying them in the wrong direction. And then especially
what?
One guy with... he's got no clothes on his upper body and bright red shoes, jeans on. You can see he's being carried towards the club. You can see the pulse, the sign of the Pulse Club in the background to the left. See him. And then when they don't think they're on camera anymore, they put this guy down. They do a high five and a bit of a laugh. One of the guys who are carrying, one of these victims, you will also see that several of the people carrying these victims are dressed in clothes that reminds you of the American flag. You know, stripy underpants, red, white. You got one t-shirt that is the American flag. You got another one with the southern colors, you know, the stars and banners. And the whole I think part of the PSYOP, you know, part of the PSYOP. Oh my God, America has been hit. You know, it's awful, awful, awful.
Yeah.
There's one guy, you will see him carry the guy with the red shoes. He's the guy furthest to the left. He's got a hat on. He almost looks painted like a clown and a bit overweight. Well, his name is Christopher Hansen. At least it's said like that. He's said to be his name because there are a lot of evidence pointing towards him possibly being the actor Bjørn Jiskut Jr. I'm not totally sure about that yet, but they look a lot alike. And this guy is being interviewed, being the hero, many interviews. And there's especially one where he's standing, it's daylight, the camera is shooting from his right-hand side. And if you look at his ear, you will see that there's a fake, the lower part of the ear, his right ear, is fake. It's like a makeup type of thing they've added to the ear, I think to disguise the shape of the ear or whatever, because the shape of the ear is one of the things that is the most difficult to hide when you do like plastic operations or identifying people. They always have problems with ear shape. anyway, you can see it. It's not.
It's also a fingerprint.
It is like a fingerprint, exactly. And here you can see, like, it's like half of the lower part of the ear is not the same color as the wrist. You got another one. You got a mother called Christina Leinonen. And Leinonen is a Finnish very common name. And her name being so common started a whole debate in Finland about gun control in Finland, because Finland is the most gun, they have the most guns per capita in Europe. And at the same time that this happened, there was a shooting in Finland as well, creating a lot of debate around this thing. I would just very strongly suggest check out the connections. We're talking about NATO countries, and this is how they do it. This is how we're being played. Anyway, this mother, Kristin Leinonen, she's standing there in the night, and I don't know where my son is. I don't know where my son is. I've sent an SMS, and he hasn't replied. Okay. I would say if you believe that your son has been shot and killed in a gay club, maybe you would pick up the phone and make a call. Would sending an SMS be enough? Anyway, so she's been interviewed there. So I'm really not a good actor if that is what she is. And then she's being interviewed the next day as well, when they find out that her son was actually among the victims. Her son looks nothing like her. Absolutely not. He's very dark and so on. But anyway, Christina Leinonen, she's standing in front of cameras. And if you look at the reflections in her glasses, you will see that there are multiple reflections of spotlights, suggesting that she might be standing inside a green screen studio. I would suggest that that is what happened. You will see when she moves around her head, the reflections in her glasses shows where she is. Multiple spotlights. Anyway, so it also seems like she's reading from a prompter, because she keeps looking down to the right, and she has a problem reading what is supposed to say, because one of the things that she makes a mistake with is the name of her son, calling him the wrong name. So that's a bit of a bummer. And then she says really weird things, and I think she just messes up the lines, because she says, she's standing crying, and she says, "This was in a club where nobody wanted to go." First, she said that she was really proud that her son had got a prize for sort of building a bridge between gay and straight. So we would think that she's open for gay club or gays at all. But here she said, "This is a club where nobody wants to go. We need to put control and ban on these assault rifles to stop this club from getting more members."
Oh, what?
What the hell was that? I would suggest she messed up big time. She was supposed to say, "We need to stop or ban these assault rifles." But here she says, "To stop this club from getting more members." What the hell was that? Then you got another one. I love this guy, Angel Colon. This guy is said to have been shot 6 times. And in the different interview he gives, it's very dramatic. And he says, "The killer came close and he aimed the rifle at my head, but I put up my hand. So, my hand took the bullet and I survived." Well, I tell you, an AR-15 would make a nice little hole in your hand and then a big hole in your head.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he was very lucky with that. Then you see the press conference where he's sitting talking about these things, and his hands are absolutely fine. You know, there are other victims that are being interviewed that are pointing out for the interviewer, one girl, quite overweight, she's sitting at home doing fine, and she's just pointing out, "So where did the bullet hit? Well, it hit me here and came out on the other side, but so I'm fine." It's an AR-15. I mean, this is a heavy, it's a very, very powerful gun. You should not be sitting up, lady. You should not be at home. You should be in hospital with a lot of bandages and killers. You know? Then we got another one. I can keep on for a long time, you know. There's another one called Patience. What's her name? Let me see. Patience Carter. Once again, somebody connected to media. She is one of these news anchors or somebody out on the street doing different interviews and so on for one of the TV channels. And she's telling this story. It's very dramatic about how she and some friends were hiding in the bathroom, and they was trying to crawl under the wall into where the handicap toilet is to get underneath, but there were so many so they couldn't. And they said that they saw the shooter, and then while they were lying there, suddenly these armored vehicles broke through the wall. There were dust and concrete falling down on them, and then Omar Mateen was shot through one of the holes, so they saw him die. Okay, fair enough. There are two witnesses saying the same thing. But when you compare the holes in the walls with where the bathrooms are, the holes in the walls are in the men's room, not where the women's bathroom is, because there's only one handicapped toilet, and she keeps referring to that one, so she must definitely have been in that one, not the other one. And we're talking like 5-6 meters difference from where the holes are. So no way could she be there. Nowhere could she get concrete and stuff on her. No way could she see Omar Mateen being shot and so on. So it just keeps going on and on. And like very odd, there's one person who was murdered here from Puerto Rico. So there's amateur footage from the funeral. All the families crying. And the body looks, I mean, it looks like a wax dummy. It looks very odd. And there's one guy coming up and just pushing the chest like you do with dead people. I don't know, but he's just pushing it. And it looks like rubber. It's totally, you know, very strange.
Yeah.
And then at the funeral itself, there's a man in military uniform, you know, this parade uniforms, black and blue with golden stars and a white cap, you know, military cap, comes and folds the American flag and hands it over to the mother of the victim.
That soldier.
What? He's a soldier, but not officially. So what the hell was that? Do you see? We have a lot of weird things going on. They're also talking about multiple shooters. There's one guy who tried to help by blocking the doors from the outside, letting people being shot in there. I mean, Luis Barbano is his name. He's also an actor.
Wow.
Then there's another one. There's one of the police officers. It's very dramatic because they said there was a shootout between Omar Mateen and he shoots at one police officer called, I think his name was Michael Napolitano, and he hits the helmet, a Kepler helmet, right from the front, so there's a big bullet hole in it. And this police officer, there's photos of him smiling, you know, he's being helped, supported and so on in hospital, and you can see he's got a bruise on his forehead, but he's alive, thank God. Okay, so we tracked down this guy, and it turns out that he was charged for excess violence a year ago when he was a bicycle cop in Orlando, you know, and you can see it filmed. The guy who he's arresting is filming the whole thing, very aggressive guy. So I don't know how he came from becoming a bicycle cop to being part of the SWAT team. Maybe you do that within a year, I don't know. You look at the damages to the helmet. I would suggest once again, we're looking at product placement, at least possible product placement, because it keeps being referred to as Kepler helmet, Kepler helmet, Kepler. And when you look at it, the helmet that has been shown as proof that he was shot, you know, you can see there's a small little hole in the helmet, but the rest of it is bent, you know, there's a big dent in it, and there's like, it looks like gray damage from the bullet and so on. When you look in great detail and compare it with an original helmet, the hole is there on the original helmet. It's part of the shape of the helmet. There's a little hole, I think, that is for to be able to push maybe some kind of a visor or something
like a logo or badge or...
Yeah, exactly. That hole already there, which is claimed to be the bullet hole, and the damage to the helmet is only a big dent. I think put it to the sledgehammer and just made the dent, because the dent isn't anywhere close to the hole. And it looks like they've used like body, what is it called, body putty, body fixing putty, you know, for cars. It looks like that is what they've just put on the helmet to make it look damaged. It's not a real bullet hole. It's not a real damage done by a bullet. So, once again, I will suggest looking at something like that. Right after this happened, how many events later? We went to Istanbul, and there was this attack at the airport. And it said that a suicide bomber went in there, and after a while blew himself up. He was trying to shoot people, and then blew himself up. Well, I spoke to an eyewitness who was down there, or somebody who was on location, and he said that he was sleeping in the departure hall. Everything was quiet, and then there was an alert going on. Boom, 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 please evacuate the building. Very calm and some. So he was asking around saying, is this a fire drill or something? And they said, no, but please, if you wouldn't mind, we need to empty the building and so on. So he was on his way out, and then, boom, the explosion was heard. The total wrong timeline for the official story. And then, once again, the CCTV cameras didn't work. Only, as far as I know, one camera. This is only, it's just an international airport with cameras everywhere, and unfortunately, one, well, that was maybe lucky. And this is from one of the shops. And you see people walking around in the airport, and suddenly people start running because something awful apparently has happened. They clear out, and then you see this guy looking like an ISIS guy coming, running like 100 meters away. He's running towards the camera, running, getting closer, and then runs in. Exactly in front of the camera, he's turned around, and God, he did it right in front of the camera. Got a good window looking like a posterior. And then he starts running away, but he can't find anyone more to shoot. So he takes his Kalashnikov and just slams it in the floor, on the floor. Then picks it up again and runs off. But the way it's the most gayish way of throwing a rifle, I've ever seen. And then he throws it.
Really?
If you have ever had a Kalashnikov or any kind of assault rifle, throw it on a marble stone floor, on a marble floor, it is dangerous. I mean, a shot can go off.
Yeah.
And we're talking on automatic, right?
Yeah.
But here, I used to be an extra on many film sets and so on, and the weapons that were, you know, given out to extras where there was no actual shooting. All of these looked like guns, but they were made of rubber, you know? Mm-hmm. I've been running around with lots of rubber rifles and machine guns and stuff. And the way he throws it and the way he bounces, I would say rubber rifle.
Yeah.
Anyway, so right after that, we had the first mass shooting in Germany ever. Oh, my God! The whole world is in terror, you know? So... we go to Germany right away. It was in a cinema where one lone guy stood in and started shooting a lot of people. The first report, though, there were more than 50 dead in the cinema. 50 dead and some 58 wounded. And then the lone guy happened to kill himself, or he was killed by the police, depending on who you want to live with. So then, after a few hours, suddenly there were no dead, and 52. And then a day or so afterwards, Reuters, the big news agency, went out and said, well, there's no wounded at all. Okay, 52 dead, 58 wounded. How did that go down to zero wounded and only one dead? We're looking at a theater. We're looking at a theater where people are being bombarded with this type of information, not giving themselves the time to look into it. So that thing in Germany did not happen at all. Okay, so we go to Nice.
Yep, we go to Nice.
Not Nice. Nice Paris. Here we are in Nice, and this terrific event happens. Okay, folks out there, I give you a picture. We're looking at some weird special stuff that is laid out, trying to force us into accepting more and more control, more and more militarized police and so on. Please ask yourself, every time something like this happens, who benefits from me believing in it? Who benefits from me being scared? Who benefits? That is the question. And who has the possibility to cover the rear thing up and to do these things? Anyways, we go to Nice. We go to Nice, and it was on Bastille Day. It's called the Bastille Day, due to the fact that that was where the French Revolution took place, I think, in 1789, on the 14th of July. So it's a day that is very important for free and democracy, for people to stand up, you know, against dictators and so on. So a perfect day to hit, if you want, emotionally. They very often have picked these days. So it said Nice is the south coast of France, very close to the Italian border, very close to the city of Cannes, which is where the big film festival is, and so on. And it's right on the seafront of the Mediterranean Sea. Beautiful place, beautiful place. So it is said that one guy, first Tunisian, got very upset for some reason, and he thought, I will slaughter as many as possible. So he went his truck, a 19-tonner, at the city of Nice, and so his truck was observed for 9 hours in the center of Nice, which is a little bit odd because big trucks like that are not allowed in the city center of any European city nowadays, hardly. And it said that police approached him saying...
I didn't realize that.
No, so we have a slight problem. The police approached him and saying, listen, you need to move the truck, you're not allowed to be here. And he then said, I'm selling ice cream. And they said, okay, and let him say that. Okay, you know, really good police officers. Anyway, the man on this big truck is said to have been observed there for some 9 hours around that area.
Yeah.
Then in the evening, there was some big fireworks on the beach promenade for the celebration of this national day. And then after the fireworks, when there were some concerts going on, and then suddenly this truck is seen to start accelerating and driving straight into the crowd, killing a lot of people. To split, say 77 dead. And when you look at many of these events, the numerology seems to be very important to these people behind these operations, because 77, 911, 6663 are now that keep repeating, 711 as well, keeps repeating again and again, again and again. But from 77 it went up to 84 with 202 people hurt. That is a lot. And I mean, if this really happened, oh my God, this is awful, awful. But before we see it as the truth, let's look into the details. Okay, so, there's a person filming when this guy in the truck suddenly starts driving towards the crowd and then starts accelerating into the crowd. It's said that this whole thing took place on a street the distance of 1.4 miles. It was quite long. But when you look at the timeline, it took him 25 to drive that, which is very odd, to say the least. Then you look at where the footage is taken, where you can see the trucks that are accelerating. It is, if you look at it, you can find it on YouTube. If you look at it, it's on the balcony, and in the left lower corner, there's a body that's lit up with red. And I managed to find out on this seafront, the only balcony with a letter like that is the Westminster Hotel. And the W is from the Westminster, that name, and so on.
Yeah.
Then where the truck stops and where there's a shootout with the police, that is outside the hotel at the Regency, where there's also a major casino. So if you look at the distance between where they start building and where the shootout was, it is officially said to be 1.4 mile. It is 200 yards. Talking about a little more than one apart.
Yeah.
So, very odd what we're looking at here. Also, unfortunately, there's no CCTV footage, which is a big problem because Nice has no CCTV cameras in France with 950 public cameras. And this happened right outside the biggest casino. I beg your pardon. Don't you think there would be a month outside the casino, at least for them, for private use, you know, our security, but zero. Okay.
Incredible.
So the fire station, the police station, hospital, all within half a mile. No sirens. When you look at the footage, there's no siren. You can hardly hear anything. No ambulances and people are walking around in between the dead and the mutilated bodies. No sirens, no ambulance, only what looks like normal people who are taking care of the dead and wounded. So he looked at the footage, once again, so blurred. I mean, it looks like a bad point on VHS tape from the 1980s. I don't know how they managed to get so all of the footage. Maybe you can download apps and blur things up here. Also, you look at the video footage that is taken by amateur photographers, they say, or just anyone walking down the street, and we'll see that there are cuts in the video. You can see it jumps in between different scenes, but the audio is continuous, meaning manipulated video. Otherwise, there would have been cuts in the audio as well. But you don't hear it's one long audio with screaming and all these things, but the video is cut. Then, who did the footage? Who was filming from that balcony? I always try to find out who has taken these photos. Who did it? If I take you back to Paris at the Charlie Hebdo, do you remember there was a guy on a balcony filming where these two terrorists, jumps out of a car, runs up, kills the police officer, at least that's what they claim.
Mm-hmm.
Shot him in the head with an AK-47.
With no
and
blood.
Back into the car, take off.
Yeah.
No blood, no nothing. The guy was a Muslim, he's doing fine, he lives in Buenos Aires. He's been told to stay there for 6 years, and do you know how much he's paid for this part of the acting? Speaking of odd numbers, do you know how much he was paid, according to inside sources?
No idea.
$666,000.
Oh, 16.
Do you know the street? $666,000. Do you know the street address where the bombs went off in Boston, Boylan Street? Exactly the address where the bombs went off in Boston. Do you know the street now there?
66 6th Street?
666. There again. These, like I say, these numbers keeps repeating. Anyway, so the guy who just happened to be at the Charlie Hebdo place and filmed this most important footage of the whole thing was, of course, a normal French guy who is, just happens to be there and filmed it. Nope. His name is Amchai Stein, and he's the deputy editor of the Israeli IDA Channel 1. That's a TV channel. He was the one who just happened to be there.
What a coincidence.
Okay, so, what a coincidence. And so we look at the photographer this time, because who took this footage? You know, just because it's a bit shaky doesn't mean that it's just anyone. So the guy who filmed it, he is a German journalist, here we have media again, and blogger called Richard Gutjahr. Okay, that doesn't sound something special. He just happens to be married to a woman called Einat Wilf, who's quickly becoming one of the most visible members of the Knesset. And during her national service in the Israeli Defense Forces, she was an intelligence officer in Unit 8200 and raised the rank of lieutenant. She also served as a foreign policy advisor to Vice Prime Minister Shimon Peres. She was a strategic consultant with McKinsey & Company in New York and a general partner with Ford Corporation Venture Capital in Israel. In 2007, she ran for presidency of the World Jewish Congress, and she is a frequent guest on Israeli radio and TV talk shows and a member of the President's Conference Steering Committee.
Whoa.
This is the guy who took the footage. I mean, that, just through his wife, we're straight into the Mossad. Okay, so you look at the footage, the photographs that was taken on site. There's only blurred video footage, like three or four. There's one where you can see somebody's filming, and suddenly you can see this truck coming, approaching very fast. Looks really scary. But when you look at, if you compare the proportions of the windshield of the truck with the still photos of the same truck, it's not the same. It's not the same proportions. Also, the truck looks like it's all smashed up. I mean, it wounded 202 people and killed 84. That is 286 bodies that this truck was in contact with. There is not a drop of blood anywhere on the truck.
That's what I noticed about all of the photos, actually, that they all look so clean for so much chaos. So much chaos to have happened. There's no dropped food, dropped hats, dropped clothing, shoes missing. It's all clean.
It's all clean. And you see there's no tracks from the. I mean, people would have ended up underneath tires or tracks, making an awful mess.
Oh, yeah.
And so you would see tire tracks down the street, but they're not there. They're just not there. Also, you can see that the truck starts on the right-hand side of the street, and you can see that it's outside the Westminster Hotel because there are four palm trees growing in a... they grow very close together, like very unusual. So you can see on the footage that it is actually outside the Westminster Hotel if you compare with Google Maps. And then the truck stops just a few hundred meters down the road. On the other side of the street, on the left-hand side of the street, you know, that's two lanes in each direction.
Mm-hmm.
How the hell it got over there, I do not know. When you look at the damage to the truck, it looks like it's been damaged. But when you look at it, it's only they took the hood off. So it looks like it's then no impact, no dents, no nothing. And this is something that has hit 286 bodies.
Yeah, that's a lot of people.
You look at a normal traffic accident, you know, with an elk or a moose or a deer or whatever, and it can look gruesome, just one impact, and here, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's this whole shootout with the driver, and you never see the driver at all. You just see police officers running around the truck, shooting towards where he said to be. But if you look at that footage as well, the first very few seconds of the footage, there's one guy in a gray t-shirt and gray shorts that is sort of moving away, backing away from the truck. He's up against the side of the truck, moving away when the police is moving in. They don't notice him at all, but he's right in front of them. And I was trying to suggest he might be the driver who's just slipped out on the right-hand side of the truck so the people on pavement and the buildings will not be able to see him. And then they let him away. You would see this guy appear again, the other side of the truck, walking around. What it looks like, he's shouting orders to different people in the police and so on.
Wow.
So anyway, we look at some of the footage that is there, because either it's really good videos or very sharp professional photos. Nothing in between. Where are all the photos from normal people?
Yeah.
You know, everybody has a cell phone these days. Why? Where is the video footage? Where are the photos from normal people? Well, it said that they just ran away. Okay, maybe. So you look at, there's one photographer that's taken some very, very emotional photos of the victims and so on. I tracked him down. His name is Eric Galliard. And it turns out that he's been responsible for images from several different events that are known to be false flags. Like, he was there at the Charlie Hebdo. He was there at the November 13. He was there at the Brussels airport. And here the guy is once again.
This is the crisis traveling circus.
In my opinion, yeah. And then, you know, I always look for obelisks close to these sites because they very often do it because of the Freemasoner symbols. They have this tendency to do it on a site that is sacred for them, many times they've erected an obelisk there before, or within a year there will be an obelisk erected nearby for the decoration of the park or whatever. But it's almost like they're putting their trademark, you know, or giving the rest of us a finger. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like a tag.
So of course there was no. Yeah, like tag, exactly. So of course there's no obelisk in Nice. Well, there is. And it's just like 100 meters down the road. It's called Neuf Lignes Obelisk. It's a 30 meter high, modern type looking obelisk that is right there.
Mm, yeah, there's one in Sydney as well.
In Sydney as well, where the cafe shooting was.
Yeah.
Is it close by?
It's not far away.
Okay, please send me that link, because this is, like I say, very, very interesting to hear when it was erected and so on.
This has been there for a long time.
No, but just because it's been there for a long time, you need to find out why was it erected on that location, because very often it's an old place for sacrifice, or where they chop the head of people, or a war memorial, or something. So it's some symbol of death, you know, some or ritual.
Okay,
of the time.
I'll send that to you. I'll get some info for you on that.
Excellent. But I tell you, there's some more weird things going on here, because there is one guy that I kept bumping into. You will see him in the live footage in the background and from the news, different news channels. There's this old guy walking around with a blanket over his shoulder, which is a typical ingredient in all these false flags. You know, this is the way at the Brussels airport you will see that shocked people have been handed out blankets and they're walking around looking shocked, you know, in the hundreds. Here this guy's walking around in the evening, in the morning, with blankets. Same guy appearing. And then there's one photo of him circulating. I will send it to you so you can post it, where he's walking down the street, and it's Promenade Anglais, which means the English promenade. And please keep in mind that all the English games in the football cup recently, or football championship, all the games England played was in that exact city, in Nice.
Mm-hmm.
This whole thing took place at the Promenade Anglais. And also, you will see this guy cross the street. You see in the background, the street is shut off, and then there are two lanes with arrows pointing, change direction. You know, they're pointing to the left. But the guy is walking underneath a big sign where normally it's a sign where you've got like digital text. It's about, there's a tunnel a bit further down the street, and normally it's used to, you know, it's open to between 9 and 23, these type of things.
Yeah, it's like a traffic information sign.
Exactly. Here the guy with a blanket is walking underneath, and this photo is part of a series of photos taken from this disaster. Okay. He's walking underneath it, and on the sign it says 23/06/2016. Now that is the date of the Brexit referendum. Do you see where I'm going with this?
Yeah, I can see where you're going with this, yes.
Because I would say that is a message saying 23/06/2016, maybe not to normal people, but to people in different power positions. You mess with us, this is what happens.
Yeah.
You voted out this is what happens. You burn your fingers, you know, get back in line.
Yeah.
But then I'm getting a sore throat here, so I'll finish soon, but I'll just give you the last final one.
Okay.
The whole martial law, or
state of emergency.
State of emergency. Thank you so much. Since all of these things happened in Brussels and November 13 and so on with all this alleged terrorism, it's been going on now and involved also included the championships, the recent championships in France. And they were just about to lift it when this happened. This nice attack, as you say in English, mm-hmm. this nice terror attack happened. So they went out and said, oh my God, because of this emergency, we will extend it for 3 months. Okay. So you check out what happens in 3 months. Is there anything included in this whole thing? And by the way, I forgot to tell you that there were drills in Lyon before this happened and in Cannes, which is less than 30 minutes away from this whole thing, very recently.
Regards to traffic, like a truck, or what sort of?
No, this was mass shooting drills.
Okay.
This is so odd. I had it in this document and now it's gone.
Oh, you're
okay,
kidding.
Okay, so, I tell you, they're in messing in my computer from day to, it's really interesting. So what is happening within this time space of 3 months? Well, on the 25th to the 28th of October, there's actually a big, big conference taking place in Nice, of all places. So what is this conference about? Well, it's on homeland security and crisis management. And the people there are from the CIA, the Israeli, different intelligence agencies, many different European countries, and it's taking place right exact there. It's a stone throw away from that. You can go to www.nice, that's N-I-C-E, globalforum.org, and find this whole thing. So when when the Copenhagen shooting happened, there were meetings with these agencies in Copenhagen because of a big drill at the university there beforehand. When the November the 13 things happened, there were just a week or so before a big meeting in Washington where the people from the French intelligence, the U.S. intelligence, and the Israeli intelligence services were meeting at the George Washington University, having a big open public meeting. But, I mean, what are they doing together? They should not be working like that. And here we have the exact same thing happening right there in front of our eyes.
So with the state of emergency, that means that the demonstrations aren't allowed?
I would very much strongly suggest that that is the case, yes. You're not allowed to do anything. There would be security like never before and so on. So you go and you have a look at this nice global forum. It's a very beautiful website, you know, the whole program, all the speakers and so on. But there is a slideshow that I would like to just point out a little bit. A beautiful image, the first and aerial footage of Nice, where you can see more or less the identical location for where this happened. We're talking, there's an aerial photo taken of Nice and the beach promenade, like 200 meters away from where the shootout was from with the truck.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Could be coincidence. It's in that photo, you will find the obelisk as well. But there's another photo in this slideshow. There are two different photos that I want to just point out just in case, because maybe due to their habit of putting out teasers there, they are meeting at a conference center called Acropolis. And in the slideshow, you have a big photo with the name Acropolis there. And I'm sure you know Acropolis is the national monument of Greece,
mm-hmm.
just like the Eiffel Tower of France. So I would just, I want this to be known that possibly this could be a sign showing the next target will be the Acropolis. And the more we start talking about it, making a fool of ourselves maybe, but getting it out there, the bigger the chance of them having to cancel it if it is such a teaser.
Yeah.
But also there's another photo in the slideshow where there's a sculpture. It looks like a massive big, almost like half a circle in metal, and it's called 115.5 degrees. And I have no idea. I need to start looking into what does that mean? You know, 115.5 degrees. What the hell is that? And in what angle is that sculpture aimed? Is it possible that that is some kind of clue as well of the next thing?
Could be. It could be, as in from the 360 degrees of a circle, the where it is going to be from the Acropolis.
Very good idea. Or from Nice, if you put Nice in the middle and you make it 115.5 degrees, where do you end up? I mean, this type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone listening who finds out anything, please contact me at lightonconspiracies.com. And anything you find, please, please let me know. Because the more we can be on their, you know, put a torch under their butt, you know,
yeah,
the better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like my friend, the CIA whistleblower Chip Tatum says, they are on a very strict timeline. And so many of these operations are depending on that the ones before are successful. So every time we can mess up their timeline, this can destroy it for months and months for them.
Okay.
So things that we mess up maybe in Brussels for them can affect things in the Ukraine or in China or something where they're using these events for different reasons.
Yeah.
Let's
slow down the official opening of World War III a little bit longer.
Exactly, because this is the game. That is what they want. But I tell you, I come from a family that were part of the resistance movement in Denmark against the German invasion during the Second World War. And one of the things that the Danish resistance movement did was when the German tanks came, I mean, these were unstoppable. These were death machines that you couldn't, if you threw a rock at it, if you shot at it, you couldn't damage it. But what they did was they put a spoonful of sugar in the tank. And that spoonful of sugar destroyed the engine. So with a spoonful of sugar, they was managed to stop this brutal death machine. So I say, let's put some absolute non-violent, peaceful sugar in their tank and stop this mayhem.
Yeah, let's clog their injectors. Before we just finish off, Ola, I was wondering if you've tried to telephone anyone in Nice.
No, I don't know anyone there.
I didn't know if you just tried to call a random store or random number or something.
I can't see the purpose of why.
Oh, as in
just
to see
what they say.
What they say, what happened, what they heard.
Yeah, it's a very good idea. I tell you, so many times when I make interviews like this or I put on Facebook, because I'm using my Facebook as a hub almost, you know, I've got 8,000 followers or something like that. And people from all over the world are sending in about drills in their neighborhood because the drill is essential for them to pull these things off. So I always advise people to, if there is a drill nearby where you are, please go there the day before and the day it happens and film them. It will look like a film set. And make it very, very obvious that the people doing it are filmed. Don't go there alone. Bring friends and so on. And there is a special app called, I think it's called Bamboozle, where if, for instance, you're filming and somebody approaches you in an aggressive way, a very calming effect is normally by letting them know that if you do anything to me, I'm pressing this button, which will make this live footage on YouTube. So this normally has a very calming effect on aggressive police officers and so on. So, but make it very, very obvious to the people that are setting it up that they are being observed, that they are being filmed, because it's only by them working in the shades and shadows and darkness that they can pull this off. They are like cockroaches, and we need to aim the light at them and stop this whole thing.
Yeah. Yes, that we do, because it's getting beyond ridiculous now. It's especially where when it comes to who is it, Manuel Valls, the president of France, coming out and telling the people of Nice that they have to get used to living with terrorism. And thank goodness, yeah. Well, thank goodness the people booed him off stage.
But this is, they want us to get used to what they call the new normal. They want us to get used to tanks in the streets, soldiers there, for our protection. It's not for our protection. This is for them to get global power. You know, this is so. And how can they always say, well, we're heading towards more of these events, you know, more terror attacks will come to. How do they know? Because they're the ones doing it.
Yeah, and it's a defeatist attitude anyway.
It is.
Totally defeatist. Yeah.
And this is the whole point. They pump out images of blurred images of Muslim terrorists. And then after this happens, they stand there in beautiful suits and with bodyguards and microphones in front of them saying, we need to unite in the face of terror. We need to stand united and all of these things. That the people saying that are the real perpetrators. They are the ones who did it to us. It's totally upside down.
I find it an incredibly interesting life living in a paradox.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
It does make it easier for me to get through in this crazy world when I realize that, or when I realize and look at life as being a paradox. You don't have to take it all so seriously, although seriously it has to stop.
Yeah.
I'd like to thank you for your time this evening, this morning, your time, for once again being there for me and Fire in the Sky and bringing us some valuable information in regards to the manipulation which is forced upon us from above. And I'd also like to wish you happy trails as you go to collect your world peace acknowledgement.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Can I just say that my website is lightonconspiracies.com, because that is what I devote my life to, bringing light into the darkest of the dark corners. And if anyone wants to support my efforts, I'm a one-man band, please. It is extremely appreciated. There are donation buttons on my website. I've got a newsletter to sign up for. I've got different books, Coup d'etat in slow motion, Shadow of Tears, Remind Me. You can find them on Amazon and so on. My sweetheart has written an incredible book called So What Can I Do?, where she interviews a handful of top researchers from around the globe about what a normal person, what can we do to with this thing that is going on. Excellent book, excellent way of opening up a possible dialogue with people that normally would just turn you their backs and you would get into discussions and conflicts and so on.
Okay.
So what can I do? And with that, if it's okay, I would love to end with a prayer.
Please do.
The prayer is my yoga, Raja Yoga teacher, Nalini Chelaram's, and it goes like this. May the entire universe be filled with peace and joy, love and light. May everyone, and especially the ones who hurt us, be filled with peace and joy, love and light. Victory to that light. The thing is, we all need to heal. They need to heal as well. Otherwise, it will just continue. And I think it's extremely important how we deal with these challenges, that we do it in a non-violent way, with not searching for revenge or hatred or all of these things, but to transcend this whole thing so that we can create a fantastic, beautiful world for all of us, the way it's supposed to be, in happy, unity, harmony, and beauty.
Life could be so much more wonderful and beautiful. Ola Damagard, thank you very much, and I look forward to speaking to you next time.
Me too. Take care, my friend.
Will do.